Welcome to the recap, the part of Pastoring Out Loud, where we recap the previous week's sermon, which I preached.
You did.
Nick and Ethan are here.
Hi, Ethan.
Hey.
Hey.
Ethan has promised me through vow that he will participate significantly in this recap.
Through vow?
Through vow.
Okay.
It was just in my mind.
That raises the stakes.
Perhaps. I preached on the Church of Laodicea.
So, Daniel, why don't you recap it for us?
Laodicea needed to be reminded who Jesus was. He was the Amen, the faithful and true witness. The beginning of God's, what I asserted, was new creation. They also needed to be reminded that there was a crisis coming, namely Jesus was giving them a preview of end judgment, and he wanted them to be ready for him to come. And so he was, in a sense, through the letter, coming ahead of time to help them wake up. And then he was calling them to be conquerors, those that have ears to hear will conquer through faith and faithfulness, and they will rule with Jesus on his throne alongside him. That's the recap. Anything else? Hey, follow up. You've got my manuscript there in front of you.
Yeah, I thought there was more points than that.
No, it was just those three.
Oh.
I introduced it by talking about crises and crises. I think it's crises, is the way you say it.
Yeah.
That we all encounter, and then how that could potentially distract us from the ultimate crisis coming, namely the one that will change the entire world and indeed the entire universe, Jesus coming. And then I ended by talking about how a church can be unified and help one another on their way home.
So is this a true church?
Yes. With the proviso that what Jesus says, if anyone hears my voice, that there's, and then he that has an ear, let him hear what he says to the churches. That the church is a true church. It's a lampstand, but there are those within the church that are truly Christ's. I don't think it means that every individual was genuinely a Christian.
Yeah. It's just pretty strong language, you know.
It is.
You're neither hot nor cold. I will spit you out of my mouth.
Oh, yeah.
You are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, naked.
Yeah. 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 I mean, it's not out of line with the rest of the, you know, the texts in scripture, the gospels and the, you know, the temple discourse, you know, don't fall asleep. Pay attention to the signs, or Paul in Ephesians, you know, wake up, sleeper, you know, let Christ shine on you. I mean, it's language that's mirrored elsewhere in scripture for sure. I didn't go into all that, but yeah.
So the warning for us, if you were going to distill it down, would be what?
Cling to Jesus by faith and faithfulness as the anchor for your soul. And don't compromise by clinging to other things and thereby be swayed when crisis comes that your eyes are off Jesus and instead you want to be identified with the world than with him.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Ethan, do you have any questions or anything you wanted to ask about or add? Under vow?
under vow. Yeah, I have to say something though. One thing I just thinking of, is what's present here, with this church, along with the others that, all had, criticisms was that, verse 19, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. There's a call to repentance out or call to change, you know, come back out of love. You know, this isn't, these two chapters where all of these churches are spoken about aren't there for, condemnation strictly. They're not there to, whack them over the head with here are the things you've done wrong, but return to Christ.
Yep. Yeah. It's opening up for them a pathway to get out of where they're at.
Yep. So it's an encouraging thing as well.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah.
Jesus' eye is on you, and his eye is on you enough to speak to you instead of leave you.
Yeah.
Which if he leaves you, maybe that's comfortable right now. But what is right now compared to forevermore?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. I've often heard that used as a kind of a text that, oh yeah, you know, our salvation is ultimately, you know, we have ultimate decisive free will. Jesus is just waiting for us to let him in. You know, used kind of like a proof text in that regard.
Yeah, it's not about
is that, yep. Is that what this is, or is it?
Yeah, I mean, the common evangelical misconception is, you know, you accept Jesus into your heart, like this is an individual decision. There is a, you know, if anyone will hear me, there's mm-hmm. a call. It's not about that. I mean, it's about like letting Jesus in by way of fellowship with him through the door of repentance. If anyone hears my voice, has to be paralleled with 22. He who has an ear, let mm-hmm. him hear.
Yeah.
What the Spirit says. So it's a, there's a predicating the prior to the voice of Jesus coming and the if of whether I will hear him or not, there is a who has the ears to hear him.
Right.
And so I would place the salvation still firmly in the sovereignty of God.
Mm-hmm.
Just like I would for John 3:16.
Yeah.
Like,
it's a legitimate
God
call.
God loved the world, that if anyone, mm-hmm. so loved the world, that if anyone believes,
mm-hmm.
they will be saved. That if is not, does not imply some kind of libertarian free will or final buck stopper decision with me. The question will always be in my mind, like, why does someone hear?
Yeah,
exactly. Why does someone see? And the book of Revelation asserts in a few different places, a few different analogies, things like, you know, he has an ear, let him hear. This is Johannine, you know, John's
yeah.
gospel, you know,
yep.
My sheep hear my voice. They listen to me. No one plucks them out of my hand. Or later in the book, everyone worshiped the beast whose name was not found in the Lamb's Book of Life before the mm-hmm. the slain before the foundation of the world.
Right.
Like, oh, there's a book. It pre-exists, it's in some sense pre-existent. It's got names in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the reason that people aren't worshiping the beast, is their names are written down.
Yeah.
So I would just take like
yep.
that kind of tack. They're totally. Like, oh, sure. Verse 20 totally stands. Like, as an if, but why the if?
Yep.
Somebody's got to listen.
I once heard John Piper say of this verse, just because Jesus is standing there knocking at the door doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit isn't going to come down the chimney and open it.
And on that note, anything else about the sermon for me, guys?
No, I thought it was great. Thanks, man. It's been really good to be in the churches to apply these warnings to us and the comforts.
Yep.
Of these chapters to us as a church, and I'm looking forward now to seeing the throne room next week.
Yeah, Revelation 4 for all five of you that will brave the snowstorm on Sunday to come actually be there. We still have a live stream, assuming your power lines are working and the snow hasn't crushed them or whatever.
Wow.
Is it going to be that bad?
Snowpocalypse.
Yeah. A preview, a small microcosm of the apocalypse.
There you go. I mean, we do live in Minnesota.
Yeah, so. It's true. It's fine.
All right.
As we see the snow falling outside.
Thanks, Daniel.
Yep.
Talk to you later. Thanks, Ethan.
Yep.